Hello, everybody, and welcome into episode number 401 of the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
And, you know, we're not drunk this week, but I would like to be.
Speak for yourself.
So for those of you tuning in for the first time, we're each going to go around the table. I almost said around the horn and then we would have gotten sued. But if we would have gotten sued, we could have got more listeners. I don't know. We're going to go around the screen of Zooms and say an interesting fact while everybody else guesses along. So, Michael, is that a fair summary?
That's a pretty solid summary. We'll try to stump each other.
Yeah. How do you feel like you do historically?
I like to think I'm in the middle, but then get hit for getting wrong a lot.
I'm not going to ask Nick the same question. So, Michael, why don't you kick us off with your fact?
Okay, perfect. Well, one of the things I remember after one of our recent episodes is Lindsay's Lewis and Clark fact.
Okay.
Yeah.
And people came up to me personally in the world and were like, Michael, that was a great fact.
From a acceptable distance.
Absolutely.
They came up
from,
to you.
From yes. 6 to 10 feet away,
yes.
Kind of shouting across, hey, great question. I am definitely not making this up off the top of my head. People were like, Lindsay, that was an amazing fact.
Right.
I get that all the time, to be honest.
So I thought I'd come back with another Lewis and Clark fact.
Ooh.
A second Lewis and Clark fact?
Yes.
I don't think that's possible.
We did one for Lewis. This one's for Clark.
I got it.
Yeah, I'm really excited to explore some answers.
So my question is this.
That's going to be one of those episodes.
I'm never going to be sorry.
I almost missed it. Over the course of the 2-year expedition, how many people died?
More than one. I'm guessing.
I think I know the answer to this, Michael. I think this came across my, I think this came across my research. So I will let Nick go through it.
All right. So I have no idea. So allow me to then think through exactly how I would do it if I were Lewis and Clark. You need an expedition force of what? Roughly 20 to 25 people. And I'm going to say that let's call it just over half. So let's say 13 people died on the expedition. Lucky number 13.
Okay, 13. And Lindsay, did you want to take a swing at how many you think it was?
I'm 99.99% sure that it was only one person. Because I feel like I read that in the research that I was doing from my fact from a few weeks ago.
That would be correct. It was just one person. Do you remember what he died from?
Must suck to be that guy.
I do, Michael. It was something with a shot to the butt, right?
No, that was not the case. That was one of the enlisted guys actually shot Lewis in the butt after mistaking him for an elk.
How big of an ass do you have to have before you are mistaken for an elk in the woods?
I think that needs to be the secret phrase. How big of an ass do you have to be mistaken for an elk in the woods? I'm sure that this would be a great thing for the subreddit. They did the math. If you're on that subreddit, they did the math. If you could figure out the ass to elk to butt ratio, that would be really, really appreciated. Dang it, Michael. I thought that was the person that died, but I was wrong. At least there was some.
It was actually Lewis that was shot in the ass there.
Oh, man. I can get my ass shooting straight.
So Sergeant Charles Floyd died near what is now Sioux City, Iowa, of what historians now believe is a burst appendix.
You go all that way, you become all of that, you know, explorer and everything, and then you die of something completely unrelated to what the hell you're doing.
Well, that's the thing. According to this thing from history.com, which is where I pulled this, over the years, the expedition endured everything from dysentery and snake bites to dislocated shoulders and even venereal diseases.
Right.
But the only person that died, historians believe it's a burst appendix.
That's honestly, I don't think it's possible to avoid venereal disease in that day and age. I mean, it just comes with the territory, doesn't it?
Yeah, remember we had a gamer.
No, nothing.
No, I'm laughing. I'm laughing. I was thinking about like when we had GamerDoc on and my friend Lindsay and how she was talking about how it had to be proven about washing your hands in baby wards was like such a novel concept. And they didn't believe people that like, hey, just washing your hands can prevent a lot of death. And that took so long to flip the mindset of. So this is not surprising. And also, do they know what a burst appendix was? Because that's pretty, well, I don't want to say violent, but man, that would be scary, right? If somebody just crumples in pain and you have no idea what's going on.
Well, Lewis diagnosed him with having a bilious colic. So, but everything they've read about and researched, they think it's now what's a burst appendix.
Oh man. A bilious, like I can't even
see. Bilious colic.
What does bilious mean? Bilious means like ill-tempered, doesn't it?
I think so. I thought it was like
I mean, it's a good SAT word. I just don't remember the definition of it.
Bilious. Spiteful or bad tempered.
Hey, look at that.
I very much want to, another thing for Reddit, maybe they did the math, but like what percentage of SAT words are actually used in the common vernacular? Like how much of those words that you would find on the SATs do you think like would fit in the definition of common speech?
I think that depends on how sesquipedalian you are.
You're right. That's very, very true.
As I go to Google.
So, Nick, do you have a segue from Michael's fact, or should I take
that? Sure. Speaking of history.
Oh, boo! But sure.
Yeah, I mean it makes sense. And you know, oh, you know what? Speaking of definitions of words. Okay. See, it's both his fact. Speaking of history and the definitions of words. Before I ask my question, I need to give you all the definition of a word. Okay.
Playing Balderdash.
In terms of historical documents, there is the concept of documents that are codified and the concepts of contents that are. I'm going to start over.
Words are hard, Nick. Words
yeah.
Are
oh. Okay. So you either have a document that stands in and of itself, which is codified, or mm-hmm. you have a concept that is multiple documents put together, which then show off what that concept is. Got it?
Okay.
Okay. That is then uncodified. Okay. Codified one, uncodified many. All right. So with that definition in your head, what is the oldest surviving currently in use constitution of a country? Which country's constitution is the oldest? And the reason I went through that definition is because we are only, for the case of this question, considering codified constitutions, which is okay. constitutions that are a single document.
Gotcha. Okay. Interesting.
All right, Michael, what do you think?
Oh, well, quite frankly, one of the European ones immediately comes to mind. I don't know if something like Greece would still be in use. I wouldn't say necessarily the Roman one because I feel like that would have been kind of overtaken by the Italian constitution. And I'm also assuming that these countries have constitutions as opposed to some other form of.
Most countries have some kind of constitution.
Okay. Well, I wasn't sure if it was specifically this is the constitution of Italy versus some other name that they would call it.
Sure, sure. Mm. Yeah, no, it is the country's governing document.
Okay.
Is what they're calling the constitutions.
Got it. Okay.
It doesn't have to be named the constitution.
Sure. In that case, I think I'm going to go with Greece.
Okay.
Greece.
Just, I'm trying to think of the types of countries that would have been, what's the right word? Speaking of words, I guess continuously led by the same set of principles.
Okay.
If you consider something like the Roman Empire, eventually Rome is now in Italy and something like that, to use that as an example. I mean, my gut says either that or something like the United Kingdom.
Okay.
China's a maybe, but I think that maybe there's some sort of governmental shifts.
I think anytime that there's like a question about old government, you know, your brain immediately goes to Asia, just in terms of, long time existing, right? And so my gut would want to say Japan, but I feel like that's kind of a boring question for Nick. And so I feel like it's probably the United States, just because there's in no world should the United States be the answer to which country has the oldest X, because we're so new compared to so many places. Like, you know, you stand and we always talk about this, when you go to Europe and you stand in a building that is three times older than America,
the entire country. Yeah.
Yeah. And you have that moment of like, man, we are so fresh on this earth. As a country. So, I mean, my gut would say Japan, and I'm sorry that I don't know enough about Japanese politics to know if they have a constitution or not, but I'm assuming most places with a functioning government have some sort of document that, you know, sets out the rules, or it's just total anarchy. So I'll say Japan, but if the answer is the United States, I'd like a half point.
not to kind of like poke holes in your thing, because I originally thought Japan as well.
Uh-huh.
But I know they currently have a prime minister, and I know historically they've had emperors. So that's one of those things that I was thinking about of, what kind of government shift would they have been through?
Right. Your thought process was Greece invented democracy, therefore it's been around
along
a while.
Those lines. Right.
Right. But I feel like if you're in Japan and you have that long succession of emperors, maybe it's written down somewhere. It's like, hey, this emperor is about to be coming up this, you know.
Right.
But I guess that doesn't really make as much sense. I don't know. But I'm going to stick with Japan. You know how it goes with any sort of these trivia games. If you mess up with your gut and you change your mind, you're going to be mad about it. But Japan, right. My one. The U.S. is my 1A. Just playing game theory on Nick.
All right. So a couple of things. The reason why I'm asking this question, the sort of the fact that I read that led me to do the research on this question to figure out what the information was that half of the constitutions in the world, okay, there are something like, I don't know, like 205 countries, or maybe that's BCS schools, I don't remember. Somewhere between, it's about the same, the number of countries, the number of BCS schools, but there's somewhere just under, I think, or just over 200 countries in the world. More than three quarters of them have constitutions. So it's a very, like, normal document. Like, in order to have a government, you have a constitution. Of those 150 or so, more than half, just over half, are less than 20 years old.
What?
Yeah. Whoa. That was the fact I read, and I went, that can't possibly be right. So I started researching and finding this stuff out. Turns out, it is correct. Okay, so like, and these are like normal countries that you hear of all the time. Like the Constitution of Hungary, 2011 is when it was enacted. Okay. Not the first constitution, but the current one, the one that they use now, was in 2011. Egypt was 2014.
Sure.
Right. What are some other ones? Serbia, 2006, Sudan, 2005, Rwanda,
dang,
2003.
So
yeah, I mean, it's in this millennium. Poland, 1997, right?
I think a lot of those old, like Russian bloc countries, there was a fair amount of those from the 90s to early 2000s as well.
Yeah, so if you go back to, like, 91, 92, it is just filled with Estonia, Lithuania, Slovak Republic, Czech Republic, Tajikistan. I mean, it's all of the satellite countries. Georgia, Kazakhstan, Armenia, Azerbaijan. I mean, they're all, and there was like 4-year period just enacting stuff. So, Michael, your guess, Greece, which I had and have now lost. give me a second. I have the whole, this is a great document that we're going to link to that has everything. All right, so Greece, in 1975 is when it was enacted. Which, believe it or not, pretty much puts you in the top 30 all time.
Oh, okay.
So out of all the countries, you're top 30, which is very weird considering it's 1975.
I see Lindsay getting really excited about the United States guess.
Lindsay, with your guess of Japan, let's see, 3, 6, 9, 12, 15, number 16 overall, 1946.
Ooh, okay, 16, so, okay.
Yep, also a good guess. The oldest ever, like, fully formed uncodified constitution, so it's like multiple documents but with one main one, you probably have heard that one. That one's the Magna Carta, right? Yeah. That's the United Kingdom. But the Magna Carta is not a constitution. It's set up with multiple documents, therefore do not qualify for this question. That's 1215, of course, as everybody knows. Magna Carta,
right? Well, that's when you hear the word old documents, that's right. Where your brain goes immediately is the Magna Carta. Which by the way, speaking of old documents, we're gonna be hosting trivia for the National Archives here in a couple weeks, so make sure you check that out. It's open to the public. Shameless plug for that event coming up. They have had a version of one of the prints of the Magna Carta there before, which was very, very cool to see. But when you think old documents, you think Magna Carta, but I knew that wasn't a constitution, so didn't go there.
Yep, 100%. So that's the oldest, you know, thing that sort of falls into this category. But the oldest codified constitution in the world, the longest running active codified constitution in the world, enacted in 1789, after it was approved by all the states, United States, USA, USA. So half a point for Lindsay. Good work.
Just a half a point. You know, I'm going to take that because I felt like I just needed a win, you know. I feel good about it. A little dirty, but it feels very interesting.
I thought so.
No, that's great. Way to go, America. What's the background as to why there weren't those type of constitutions before the U.S.? Which is, people just didn't write it down in one spot? I'm just kind
of No. People did. No, yeah, we... Lots of people wrote it down in one spot. Lots of people enacted constitutions before 1789, but they have changed the basic premise of the Constitution. Mm. So they have adopted new constitutions. So whereas all we do is add an amendment when we change our Constitution, which doesn't technically uncodify it, it's simply they enact new constitutions. So that's the reason why. Yeah.
Nick, that was so incredibly interesting. Thank you for sharing.
Well, don't sound so surprised.
No, I just, you know, it's just nice. It just gives you a warm and fuzzy when, you know, we always have very interesting facts here on this podcast. But every now and then there's one that's a good stumper that, you know, you can use to impress your friends at a water cooler, or I'll bust this out, you know, next time whenever museums open back up again and I'm given a tour of the Smithsonian for friends that are and family that are visiting, I'm going to mention this fact.
Yeah. Awesome. I will take the props.
All the props for Nick. All the props.
Well, now it is time for my fact and the inevitable great segue, which I'm about to have right now. So Nick was talking about history and talking about the Constitution in such an entertaining way. You know, I really was just thoroughly enjoyed listening to your fact and learning about your fact. And another really great place to find entertainment, which they really should be paying us for this promo, but that's the WWE. It's been a while, guys, since I've had a WWE wrestling fact, so buckle up, because we're going there.
We are incredibly excited.
Yeah, you know, lots of pay-per-views recently, so it's been a good time, and I haven't asked one of these. I always do a wrestling question every like 6 months, and the time is now.
Whether or not we need it.
Yeah, exactly. Whether or not you need it, it's coming to you. So my question for you guys, you know of the WWE Hall of Fame, right? Lots of great wrestlers and celebrities in that. So first question, that's not my actual fact. Who was the first inductee into the WWE Hall of Fame?
It's got to be Vince Andre McMahon, the Giant, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Andre the Giant. Yeah, first inductee.
I may have learned that from Lindsay.
Yeah. So my question to you guys, who was the first celebrity inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame?
It's Andre the Giant. A celebrity?
No, but like this is...
He's a movie star.
This is a traditional celebrity, not somebody that's in the is not a professional wrestler, right? That's kind of how they categorize it. So it's the first ever special celebrity inductee into the WWE Hall of Fame.
Okay, so we're not counting, for example, wrestlers that went on to be celebrities like The Rock or something like that.
But no, it would correct. Be
this is a celebrity.
It would be So it's going to be somebody that's like a Donald Trump, right? Somebody who had an arc on the show, somebody who was okay. a celebrity who was on the show for a while.
Yeah, this man or woman was made appearances in three different WrestleManias. Also took a pile driver from particular a particular wrestler. I don't know if that would give it away who it was. Do you want to know the year that they were inducted? Would that help as a hint?
Yes,
sure.
Okay, so this was 2004. So 2004, they were inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame.
All right, so let's think, Michael. Mm-hmm. How good are you in your? I mean, I assume this is 80s wrestling, right? This is.
I wouldn't think so. With an induction of 2004, if you're going to induct somebody, especially in something like the WWE Hall of Fame, I'd assume they are still somewhat notable or current.
Yeah, but
relevant, I think, is the right word there. I don't know if you can go back to like, oh, the guy did three WrestleManias in 85 through 88.
So I would assume the reason I was thinking 80s was I would assume that the WWE Hall of Fame is not some storied 75-year-old institution that has been inducting people historically every year like clockwork, like Major League Baseball. Right.
They do. And since the WWE Hall of Fame began, they are very consistent about the honors and induction ceremony. Like it's a real Hall of Fame within their organization.
Oh, no. I get that it's a real organization. I'm just saying it's not 75 years old, right? There was a baseball Hall of Fame in the 1940s.
Yeah, it was formed in 1993. So, 27, almost 30 years ago.
Okay, so
204 total inductees, 113 individual, 36 legacy, 10 celebrities. So,
all right, so 200 inductees in 30 years is what? 7 a year?
Give or take, NFL puts in.
6 a year. So this was my point, was that if you're going to start inducting people into the Hall of Fame, you're going back to the beginning, right? You either get your huge names from the 80s, like your Andre the Giants or your, your Hulk Hogan's and your people like that, except Hulk Hogan was still active at the time they started this, and Andre the Giant was probably dead. So these are where you get the guys from like the 40s, the 50s, and the 60s, right?
I'd agree with you to an extent. I agree, yes, that's the pool of wrestlers you're pulling from.
Right.
This is specifically a celebrity entrant. And since there's only 10 of them, I think it's relatively newer.
And okay. This list of the celebrities that are in the Hall of Fame is great. It's just a lot of really fun people. Some not so fun, but
fun. Right. Yeah, do you have any guesses, Michael?
I don't.
Just name a celebrity that was alive in 2004.
The reason was alive.
Currently alive too.
In order to be inducted. So the reason why I was going to the 80s was I remember in the 80s when I was the last time I watched wrestling, there was a whole thing with. Refrigerator Perry, right? The Bears thing had been done. The football stuff was done. He came on as a wrestler in his Bears uniform, right? Sure. It was kind of like an afterthought. And I'm going to say that is somebody who was an athlete and a celebrity before wrestling, then became a wrestler and therefore made the list of celebrities inducted into the Hall of Fame, right? Only because he's a Hall of Famer in football and therefore would have to be a Hall of Famer in wrestling. Okay. That's what I'm going with him.
And I got nothing. I really don't. Like, Michael, I was trying to my logic. I was trying to logic my way through.
Okay, Michael, I'm not going to tell you whether or not Nick is correct. Okay. But I will say that I would give me an athlete, because Nick is correct in that it is an athlete. I will tell you in a second if William Perry is correct. But Michael, give me an athlete.
I'll say Deion Sanders. Okay. Only just because I recently saw one of his Subway commercials.
So Nick, your train of thinking is very, very solid. That is a 100% excellent guess. William the Refrigerator Perry was inducted into the Wrestling Hall of Fame. So you are right that he is in the Hall of Fame, but not the first ever inductee. Do you guys want to take another guess at another athlete?
Honestly, Lindsay, I am just so... Honestly, I'm shocked and I'm a little proud. I'm very proud and I'm mostly shocked that I even named a non-wrestler in the Wrestling Hall. Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln is in the Wrestling Hall of Fame. Probably not the WWE one, though.
Correct. Yeah, he's in the actual Wrestling Hall of Fame. We've talked to them. They've helped us out. So you might know this person as someone who, you know, Hall of Fames aren't really for them. And that is none other than Pete Rose.
Well, at least he made one Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and that's really what it was. In the news article that was released in 2004, Vince McMahon says, and I'm quoting, "Pete Rose is our first ever celebrity inductee for the classic moments he's provided in WrestleMania matches with WWE superstar Kane. Only a champion like Pete Rose would get into a wrestling ring with a 300-pound monster like Kane and then have the tenacity and determination to do it again. One day, Pete Rose will take his rightful place in the Baseball Hall of Fame, but on March 13th, Pete will officially become a member of the WWE Hall of Fame." So Vince McMahon and the WWE were not playing with their shots across the MLB with the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah, no, they don't care.
Nick, you're a big baseball guy. Do you think Pete Rose goes in the Hall at some point?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, think 100%.
Soon or...
Probably not during his lifetime, or if it is during his lifetime, it's going to be like when he's on his deathbed, like at the very end. Okay. So a lot of those baseball, I mean, it would be like not having, it'd be like not having Joe Montana in the Hall of Fame. Like, how do you not if Joe Montana had gone on to coach successful football teams, you can't not have Joe Montana in the Hall of Fame.
Who's the linebacker for the Bears that coached the Niners for a couple of years? I forget his name.
Singletary. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. This is not like having Singletary, like not having Montana in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, but you know, at the end of the day, if he's in it or if he's not, he really, you know, he took a pile driver from Kane, which is a big, big mission that not all of us get to experience. So really, I'm supposed he will be a winner regardless of that. But my friends, thank you for your guesses and your facts, because we must wrap up this episode of the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
We don't know either.
Bye.